Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for giving wisdom, discernment, understanding that motivates us to holiness, so that we may escape this great falling away that we know happens at this time. And we've seen happening at this time. So, thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. Just to recap just a little bit. In verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope. And of course that's born, same word for born there, genao. We were born again unto a living hope. And when we were first born again, it was our spirit that was born again. And the soul is born again in a different manner, as we'll see. Now, it was a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, because when he was resurrected, we were resurrected. However, that's faith, and when you exercise faith in that, you get it when you continue on in the faith. And verse 5 says that you're guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So, you're guarded through your faith until you come to this salvation. You have to continue in the faith, as we studied last time. To be revealed in the last time. A person who doesn't continue in the faith doesn't get what they believe for, do they? We know that. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. And if you don't endure to the end, you will not be saved. Jesus said that. If we endure to the end, we'll be saved. You endure in faith to the end. Your faith is going to be tested. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials or temptations. You're going to be tempted. Your faith is going to be tested. You must hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not. And if you do that, you'll come to verse 9, which says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So the beginning of your faith is that born-again experience in verse 3, where you receive a born-again spirit. The end of your faith is the born-again soul. And obviously, what's been put into your spirit has to go into your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and that's where you bear the fruit. Okay, you're not the good seed put into the ground until you have that born-again, initial born-again experience of a born-again spirit. Then you're the good seed. Now you have to bear fruit, because when the harvest comes, he's coming to pick the fruit. Okay, some people don't endure to the end to bear fruit in their soul, in their mind, in their will, in their emotions. And this is why the falling away happens, is because most people don't think they have to do that. Okay, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, glory to God. So, keeping that in mind, we can see how Peter said this in verse 21. Who through him are believers in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Okay, we've already covered that somewhat. But then he says, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Now, there's a couple of things you can see here. Number one, he was speaking to true believers. Matter of fact, he addressed the elect in the beginning of his letter here. Not just the called, but the elect. And they always bear fruit. The elect are the ones who bear fruit. There are many called, but few chosen. Chosen is eklect, eklektos. So, You may be called, truly. You may have had a born-again spirit, truly. Will you have a born-again soul? This is how you make your calling and election sure. You see, that's what the Bible says. Seeing you have purified your souls. In other words, you have to see the end from the beginning. You have to walk by faith. You have to believe it's done at the cross. Seeing, this is what you see in your spirit. You know, you see that as it has done, has finished, right? By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Okay, so if you don't want to fall away, you have to be obeying the truth. And for you to obey the truth, you have to search for truth, as we've already covered. You search for wisdom as gold. It is valuable. Okay? Purify your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto the unfeigned love. The most important thing is love. Now, many people prove that they do not love. And, of course, they have not arrived and are in danger of falling away. Okay? Oh, don't forget the obedience to truth. Unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently. Having been begotten again, same word for born again, not of corruptible seed. Okay, so when you're first born again, you don't know much about the Bible, do you? But you don't really have to. All you have to do is repent and want the Lord to take over your life, right? Repent and believe the first message you have of the gospel. Just that's all you have to do. But after that, as you search for the truth and obey the truth, you will have fruit in your soul. In other words, you'll be renewing your mind with the mind of Christ, which will enable you by your faith in what you understand to bear fruit. God will give you power when you believe what you read. Okay? Some of you might go to churches and not get enough word to overcome anything you've already got. You need to get this on your own. You need to get this by searching out the truth. God's people will love the truth. All of the elect will love the truth, and they will love him enough to obey it. That's what he said. Okay. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed. What is that seed? It's the Word of God. When you first come to the Lord, do you know the Word of God? Well, no, you don't. But this is the second part of being born again, and that's born again in soul. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God. So you do have to seek the truth, and you do have to obey the truth. But you can obey the truth because you believe that you were united with him in the death, burial, and resurrection, and that your sins were taken away. You believe the gospel. You were made free from sin, Romans 6. Okay? And as you believe that, it won't have power over you because you believe it's been conquered already. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But of incorruptible through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass. Now this, we do go through this crucifixion of the old flesh. And when you get the word of God, first thing you're doing is you're obeying your spirit. And you're not obeying your flesh. And it dies. You're weaning it. Right? It's used to getting its way. You're weaning it. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. Now that's what you put in your heart that is eternal life right there. The word of the Lord abideth forever. It is eternal. That's what that means. This is what eternal life is. The grass, the flesh is temporal. This is eternal. We become the Word made flesh. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ in you through the Word manifested in your heart and your obedience to it, you don't have any hope of glory. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. Notice, this is the gospel. Not that other thing. Just accept Jesus. He doesn't accept you unless you repent and believe. Repent and believe. And that's a continual thing. It's not a one-time step over the line that religion would have you to have, you know. Okay, well, you know, this purifying of your soul is by obeying the truth, is what James was talking about. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the inborn, is what this word actually is, inborn word, which is able to save your souls. How? Through your obedience to the truth, as we just read. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Many are deceived. Multitudes of what they call Christians are deceived. They don't think they have to walk in the truth. They think they can walk in the flesh. But Paul said, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay, there's a condition there. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. His natural face. This is contrary to what we were commanded to do in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. It says we behold in a mirror. He says, first of all, with an unveiled face. In other words, if you have eyes to see, some don't. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. In other words, it's a gift from the Spirit as you continue to behold. This is the gospel. You don't live anymore. Jesus lives in you. That's what Paul said. And you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing Jesus because you accept this by faith. It's an imagination that you must hold on to. Okay? And we come into his image, it says there. From glory to glory. It's an imagination. You see Jesus in the mirror by faith. You see? Because it's done. It's done. And no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Amen? So, when you see your natural face in the mirror, he says, in other words, you're looking at your old stinking self, right? There's no faith there. You're not calling the things that be not as though they were. No faith involved here. How can you grow? How can you be anything more than what you are? Beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Yeah, it's people, you know, they begin to look at self too much. They begin to fall into denial. It's the only way they can have any peace. You read the word, it tells you what God wants, and you begin looking in the mirror and saying, well, I don't look like that. But that's no faith. There's no faith in that, you see. There's no power in that. You will not overcome. You will always be a hearer and not a doer, you see. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, which is what I'm telling you right now, and so continueth, which is what I've been telling you already, being not a hearer, but that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Oh gosh. Thank you, Father, for the good news, the awesome, awesome good news. And also, You know, 1 John 3, 9 and 10 tells us, whosoever is begotten, same word, born, whosoever is born of God doeth no sin. Oh my goodness. You mean when you have a renewed soul, a born again soul in the image of Jesus, because you've held fast to the words of your spirit, which you've received from God in the Word, then you're going to overcome. How many things have you overcome since you come to know the Lord? Just think about it. Things that you don't even think about doing anymore. If the devil tempted you, you'd laugh at him. Right? Well, listen, God wants to continue that all the way to the end. He wants to continue it to your at least 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. Fruit of the seed that's put in. The seed that's put in, we discovered in an earlier revelation in the parable of the sower, is the seed of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. You must put the Word in there because you must obey it. Okay. Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin. No. You know, there's a born-again man that's growing in you. He's taking ground. He's taking that promised land away from the old Canaanite, the old sinner in the land. He's putting to death that old sinner and taking his house and living in his house. That's what the spiritual man is doing. If you're hearing and obeying the word of God, you're conquering this land. The problem was, when the Israelites were going into that land, they forgot faith. They forgot what God said. Joshua and Caleb didn't forget. They kept reminding them. They weren't paying any attention, though. So they died in their wilderness. A warning to us. Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. That's the word of God. It abideth. You know, when you give up the seed, you give up the word when you're tested or tried. Remember we said that when after you receive the initial born-again experience, you're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. Now, if you give up the seed and you accept what the devil says, guess what you're accepting? His seed. What does that end up being? A tear? You don't want to give up the seed of God. It has the power to bring eternal life manifestly in your life. Whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed or word abideth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, the part of you that's born of God is not going to sin. Guess what that is in you? It's God in you. That's right, Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that part of you is not going to sin. Now there's other parts of your promised land that you haven't conquered yet. You haven't killed the old man. You haven't taken his house. You haven't raised up your own crops on his property. You, on and on. You know, you have to march through the whole promised land. He said, every place you put the sole of your foot, I'm going to give it to you. Okay? And the parts you know about already, the parts that are born again, because you're not tempted there anymore. God changed you. That wasn't an accident. You believed something. All right? In this, the children of God are manifest. Now we're talking about manifestation, you know, and that's what we're here for, to manifest Christ. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. They're not of God. So when you sin, you can confess it and forsake it, and he will wash you clean. 1 John 1, 7-9. He will wash you of all unrighteousness. And that's part of your tools along the way to stay clean before God. If you're not going to confess your sin, and you're going to justify yourself, you're not going to make it. You're going to fall away. It's a fact. So just hide your sin. That's all you need to do around the people of God. And you know, make yourself acceptable to them as a deceiver. That's all you have to do. Confess your sin. And God will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what he said. So let's believe and confess and forsake this worldly way, right? Amen. Okay, I'm going to go on down now, back in 1 Peter in chapter 2. Okay. So since this is true, since you accept that you've purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, and you're going to continue to obey the truth so that you can continue to take that promised land and bear fruit in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, since this is true. And, of course, the old grass is going to be burnt up, you know, in the fiery trial. Okay, that's the flesh. And then verse 2 tells us, since you believe this, putting away, therefore is the therefore for a reason, right? Putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies. Not saying this because you can't do it. Those are liars. These are antichrists. They've never even gotten the revelation of the gospel that are preaching that you're always going to be a sinner, saved by grace. Well, then you didn't get saved by grace, did you? If you're always going to be a sinner, you didn't get saved by grace. Grace comes through your faith in the Word of God to save you from sin. It doesn't save you so you can sin and get away with it. It comes to save you from sin because you confess it, you forsake it, you want God. These people will be known. God is more important to them than sin. And that's the trial. Putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies. Oh gosh, the church is full of hypocrisies and guile, deception. They're hidden rocks in your love feasts. And guess what what happened to them? Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. They're full of guile. They're hidden. They're deceivers. They want you to believe they're somebody that they're not. Instead of confessing their sins to somebody that's faithful, or at least to the Lord, they would rather deceive themselves. They'd rather delude themselves. Okay? And hypocrisies. My goodness, yeah, there's so much judgment out of these people, and of course, we're not permitted to judge until we're complete. Right? Until we've delivered from sin. So, and envies and evil speakings. As newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Now, when we're a doer of the word, remember what Jesus said about the meat. The meat is to do the will of the Father, my meat. Now, how are you going to grow up without meat? Okay, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Our meat is to do the will of him that sends us. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? That you may grow thereby unto salvation. Whoa. Okay, there it is again. We're growing unto the manifestation of our salvation. The manifestation is what you're looking for when you go out into the field to pick the fruit. You're looking for the manifestation. Now, you might believe that seed is going to bring forth wonderful fruit, but you ain't going to go out there and pick it until it's above the ground and you can see it. That's when you pick it. That's what we're here for. Some people tell you don't get that till you go to heaven. Well, they're not going to heaven. Because we're here to bear fruit. The fruit comes out of the earth. It is attached to the earth before you pick it. Okay? That you may grow thereby unto salvation. Salvation is something that is in Jesus Christ. If you abide in him, you have it. If you don't, you don't. It's not something magical that happened to you when you first accepted Jesus. The test comes after that to find out if you're just called or whether you're called and chosen. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men. Okay, if you don't want to be rejected of men, you're going to do what it takes to make them happy. But it's more important to make God happy, because He's got eternal life for you. Elect and precious, He says. Rejected indeed of men, but with God elect and precious. You are as living stones, built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, just like the priests offered up sacrifices. What did they offer up? Flesh. Burnt flesh. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You, in the fiery trial, you're making a decision. Do you want more of Jesus or do you want more of the flesh? If you obey the flesh, you get more of the flesh. If you obey Jesus, the flesh is crucified because it doesn't get what it wants. It's on the altar of fire and it's burned up. This is how you get more of Jesus and more fruit. Is in the trial, which he said you were going to go through, in the trial you decide to obey the word. And you can feel the old flesh drawing on you, and the devil beyond that, he's got his rope around the old flesh, you know, pulling against you, you know. And you can feel it when you're tested or tempted to do something other than obey the word of God. The word of God puts you on your cross. If you don't obey it, you're not on the cross. And if you don't take up your cross and follow Jesus, you're not his disciple, which means a learner and a follower. Okay? Because it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. How can you prove you believe on him? Faith without works is dead. If you believe, you act on it. He that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. But there's a lot of people that are going to be put to shame. For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, and that'll be proven, whether you believe or not, in the midst of the trial. The stone which the builders rejected. You say, I've never rejected Jesus. If you don't obey him in the midst of the trial, you've rejected the stone which the builders rejected. Just like those early people did. And you're shamed. But he that believeth will not be put to shame. You're shamed right here. You're rejected. The same was made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble at the word, being disobedient. So who is it that stumbles and falls away? The disobedient. And why are they disobedient? Because they're not believing the word. And they wouldn't believe this word I'm telling you right now, because they've made up a convenient doctrine so they can live in the flesh and go to heaven. Even people that know better do it, fall into the trap. They stumble on the rock of offense. They stumble over the word of God. The word comes to prove you. And the word comes to empower you with faith, and it comes to deliver you. It's like a two-edged sword to cut away that which is fleshly and that which is demonic. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Of course, he's trying to convince them, but he just got through giving the conditions here. A people for God's own possession, so that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are called out of darkness to come into the light. The light is the light of the Word, the wisdom of God. The darkness is the darkness of your unregenerate soul that's not born unto God. Let's say there are parts of your soul that are born unto God because you are obedient there and you're not even tempted anymore. But there are parts of your soul where you're not obedient to God. That's where your promised land hasn't been taken away from the carnal man of the land, the Canaanite. You must be put to death for you to take the land. You must take the land 30, 60, and 100-fold. All right? You have that opportunity. Who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God. How do you become the people of God? Well, you when you're born again, it's God Himself who lives in you. You're now a part of His kingdom. The part of you that obeys God is His kingdom. That's where He rules, right? The part that you don't obey Him in, that's not His kingdom, because He doesn't rule there. Okay? So you're coming into the kingdom of God, which is pretty easy to prove. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Yeah. Oh, God is so good. Thank you so much, Father, for your mighty, mighty blessings. Okay, I'm going to go to 1 Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh... Obviously, if you're being crucified and the old man is being put to death, it's sometimes painful, you know, to give up these things that you give up in order to have Christ, right? As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. So if you don't let your outer man decay, the inner man is not renewed. They both occupy the same territory. Somebody's got to be losing the territory, and somebody's got to be taking the territory. And if you're not putting to death the old man in the land, you're not taking the territory. The Israelites were told to go, take their sword, God would be with them, and every place they put the sole of their foot, God would give it to them. They took out the enemy everywhere they went, the old man. God said, don't appease them, kill them. That's a type and a shadow of your old man. Your old life has to die. Can't be reformed. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. See, it's a good thing to suffer in the flesh. When you deny yourself, you take up your cross and follow Jesus, you're suffering in the flesh. A cross is a cross, right? Your cross is obedience. Jesus obediently went to His cross. He said, for this reason I came into the world. Disciples tried to talk Him out of going to His cross. Can you imagine? Well, now we can see a parable there, you know, of course. A lot of people try to talk you out of going to your cross. But He says, get thee behind me, Satan. And we ought to say the same thing. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You see, consider suffering in the flesh. To cease from sin. If you don't cease from sin, that means sin's going to rule you. If sin rules you, you're going to fall away. That you no longer should live the rest of your time where? In heaven? No, on earth. That you should no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Is that possible? You mean all these preachers lied to me that I just have to accept my forgiveness and go on sinning? Read that again. That you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And how do you do that? Suffering in the flesh. You have to say no to your flesh. You can do that since the cross. Because your old flesh was crucified there, and Jesus delivered you out of the power of darkness. You don't have to serve it anymore. That's what the Bible says. If you believe you have to serve it, you do, because be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. That's what he said. Yeah, if you're going to believe you're going to be a sinner the rest of your life, you're going to be a sinner the rest of your life. But you're not going to heaven because you're not going to bear any fruit. That's not the gospel. Gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. For the time past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles. In other words, yeah, you got away with it for a while. And to have walked in lasciviousness, lusts and wine bibbings and revelings and carousings and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you do not with them into the same excess of riot. That you don't run with them into the same excess. They think it's strange. Well, if you humble yourself to them, if you're really interested in impressing them, of course you're going to get into the same things they're into, and you're going to lose it. I know some people say you don't lose your salvation, but we're seeing how ridiculous that is. The elect are not going to lose their salvation, but many of the called will. The elect are the chosen because they bear fruit. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? Well, I tell you what, the Lord will judge the living and the dead. If you continue on in your riotous living, doing everything the way you want to do it and not putting to death the sin, you will fall away. Because you cannot go to heaven, you would ruin it. It's just the way it is, folks. I have to tell you the truth. And verse 17 says, for the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. God uses the wicked to judge the house of God. And then he judges the wicked. That's his method. That's his M.O. Somebody's got to put you on the cross. The apostate people of God, the Romans, these put Jesus on the cross. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. You need to walk in the judgment of God. That flesh needs to die. You need to suffer the loss of self. Self cannot go to heaven. Self is synonymous with soul in the scriptures. Soul. Not going to heaven. Got to die here. Every seed that goes into the ground is put to death. They're put to death by the dirt around the seed, right? But then life comes out. There has to be a death before life. Life comes out and starts bearing fruit, right? So this judgment begins at the house of God because you've got to have time to bear fruit before your time is up. That's why it's called a race. You're racing against the clock to bear fruit before your time is up. And if it begins first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? True. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, notice, the sinner, it doesn't look good for sinners there, does it? I thought you were going to be a sinner the rest of your life. Doesn't look good there. How about the righteous? Oh, they're doing much better. There's not as many of them because they're scarcely saved. But there's lots of sinners. And you're either in one camp or the other. Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Who is trying to create your soul in the image of Jesus Christ? Look at that. And how does it happen? We just discovered it happens through your obedience to the truth. And the reason you can obey the truth is because you have faith. If you've got faith, you're going to have obedience, because faith without works is dead. James said, I will show thee my faith by my works. And so, I tell you what, let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Some people don't have time to search the Scriptures. They don't have time to get the New Testament down in their heart. That's too many other things. Remember how the seed was destroyed in the parable of the sower. The distractions of life is why they did not bear fruit. Seeing, here's the seeing again. This is a seeing by faith. You see this by faith. Seeing that his divine power hath granted, that means it's already done, he's already given you this, hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life. And this word life is Zoe. It's God's life. It's not your old soulish life, your psuche. It's the Zoe. It's the higher life that you get when you give up the psuche, the lower life, the self life. Okay. He's given you all things that pertain unto life and God. He did this at the cross. And you can have grace and peace multiplied to you when you believe on this. When you apply it in your life. Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. You have to know what God has given unto you. You have to know what God has given unto you. Then you have to exercise faith in it. Thank God it's faith and not your own self-efforts or what they call works, the negative works, right? You have faith in God, and God will rise up in you and do the work. Whereby he's granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, if you're going to live a godly life, you need the divine nature. He says the promises are what gives you this divine nature. You can partake of the divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, you must escape this, or you will have a falling away. Because, you see, God doesn't want this in heaven. And the lust is those desires of the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. That's a falling away, right? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay, so obviously we need to put the promises into our hearts so we can partake of the divine nature so that the corruption does not overcome us. Otherwise, you're falling away. Lots of people belittle spending time in the Word every day, but that's exactly what you're expected to do. Like the manna in the wilderness. Jesus said he was that manna that came down out of heaven, and he tested them whether they would gather a day of manna every day to see if they would be obedient unto him, it says, right? So you're being tested. Oh yeah, I know, you can go party. You can go party with a lot of Christians. You can go live after the lust of your flesh. But that's not why you're here. You're here to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Yea, and for this cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. There's no comma behind diligence. It's behind faith. You're diligent in your faith. You can't add anything. You can't be diligent in any of the attributes that he's getting ready to mention here. You have to have faith. You have to use the faith that God has given to you. And if you haven't been given faith, you're not saved. For all not, have not faith. All diligence in your faith, comma, supply virtue, See, inside faith is all this. It's all given to you because of your faith. Supply virtue, and in, I'm telling you how it is in the original language and in my Bible. And a lot of Bibles, that don't. It's not like that. It's adding to. No, it's not. That's not what it says. It says, supply virtue, and in your virtue is knowledge. And in your knowledge is self-control. Kind of like the little egg, you know, that you open up, there's another egg inside, and then you open that up, there's another egg inside. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, patience. Some people don't believe in self-control. They think they can't be controlled. They think that their spirit man, well, of course, if you don't feed your spiritual man, he's not going to be able to control yourself, right? And in your patience, godliness. He wants patience. The patience may have its perfect work. That's what he said. That you may be entire, lacking in nothing. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Well, God wants love from his people. Love for one another. If you don't have that, you're not going to make it. And if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful. Well, of course not. This is fruit. For goodness sake, what a blessing. The fruit of God. They make you not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, knowledge begets knowledge. It started out with knowledge. You exercise faith in the promises of God. You received of his divine nature. Because you were crucified with Christ, your old man was put to death. You were buried in baptism as an act of faith that old man is dead. And the one that came up is Jesus. It's not you. All right? Except the grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. What's the fruit? If the seed is the word of Jesus, what is the fruit? It's the fruit of Jesus. It's not gaining souls. It's gaining your own soul. Certainly, if you gain your own soul, you'll be able to be useful in gaining other souls. But you can't give away what you don't have. It makes you not unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind. Why? Because he doesn't see right. He only sees his natural face in the mirror. He doesn't look in there and see Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. He doesn't behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. He's blind, seeing only what is near, which is his old ugly face, right? Having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Have you forgotten that you were cleansed of your sins? You don't have a problem with sin. You have to believe it's gone, just like a sickness. You believe it's gone. You believe it was born by Jesus. And you believe your sins were born by Jesus. You don't have a problem with sin. You have a problem with unbelief. The problem with sin has been dealt with. Your problem is unbelief. This is how you get the grace of God. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. This creation is happening. This creation of your soul, the recreation of your soul into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory is happening as you walk by faith. Did you forget that your sins were taken away? Why are you lending your body to sin? You will die. You will fall away. 3 out of 4 do, according to the parable of the sower. Don't forget you were cleansed from your old sins. Does that mean so you can continue to walk in them? No, because when you walk by faith that you are cleansed of them, you're not going to give yourself over to them because God's going to give you grace. By grace have you been saved through faith. Through faith. Wherefore, brethren, give them more diligence to make your calling and election sure. Notice, your calling might be sure. The word calling just means invitation. You've been in, since you were born again in your spirit, you now have a calling, an invitation, who saved us and called us. You have a calling. That calling means an invitation to partake of everything that Christ is. They went out and they called people to the marriage feast, but there was a guy that didn't have on a wedding garment. So how'd you get in here? So they grabbed him and threw him out. Wedding garment is your works. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put it on. Put on Jesus. Put on your wedding garment. Give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble, which is just another way of saying fall away. If you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance. Whoa, look here. I thought I entered way back there, you know. Well, notice, you are entering the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you do these things, you are entering into the eternal kingdom. Why is that? Because that's where God rules. If you're lawless, He doesn't rule there, right? So in doing these things, you enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the preachers have lied to us a lot about this. You got it when you shook the preacher's hand. That's all you need to do. You know, go sit down on a pew and wait for the rapture. But they lied. And they don't know what they're talking about. And then they have not been a partaker in this fruit because they didn't read the word. They just accepted what their dead religion said and passed it on to you. We call it leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, this is how you enter the kingdom. And I'm going to pray now. Well, Father, we ask that you keep these things in our mind and that we be given this gift to always seek out your word day by day and learn and grow and receive in us the word of God into our hearts where it can bear fruit. Give root to that seed, so that we can bear fruit. Father, this is wonderful. Lord, we love you. We love to read your word. We love to know what it is to be righteous, what it is to be truly born again, spirit, soul, and ultimately body for those who are born again in soul. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus Christ, because when we look in the mirror, we don't see a sinner. We see a sinner that's been saved by grace. We've been saved by grace. Saved is Jesus. Saved is Jesus. We accept Jesus. We accept the reconciliation, Lord. The exchange of His life for our life. We give up our life daily. It's been nailed on the cross. It's been buried in baptism. And we accept the life of Christ daily. As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed. Day by day. Lord, every day, Lord, let us give up the old man to death in the fiery trial on the altar of burnt offering. We have a continual burnt offering according to type. Lord, help us every day to deny ourselves, to let the old fiery trial burn up the old man, take his place, plant crops on his land, you know, take his house. That's this house we're walking in. Take his house away from him. Lord, we win because Jesus won. We just need to keep on believing that, keep on believing these awesome promises, and accept the fact that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for this awesome and miraculous work. And Lord, in verse 19, it says, and we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. And the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, Proverbs 20 and 27. And it's shining in the dark place of our soul, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's the manifestation of our salvation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your awesome gift to us. We believe you, Lord. We believe you. We're no longer going to look in the mirror and see that old man. And we thank you that we're washed clean. We're going to confess our sins. We're going to humble ourselves. You give grace to the humble, but the proud you resist. We're going to confess our sins. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Well, thank you for joining us today, saints. Bless you. And continue on as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good night, saints.